Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Action Network Podcast.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome into the Action Network Podcast, presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. NFL Draft is off and running. We join you in the wee hours of the morning, Friday, April 26th. Brendan Glasheen in the host chair with our NFL Draft betting update crew from the entire spring. Travis Reed of Bet Labs contributes to Action Network as well. Jacob Wayne and Evan Abrams, our director of research and media. Great to have you with us. You're probably listening to this early Friday morning at the earliest as we record just after midnight Eastern. We're getting you ready for day two and reacting to day one of the 2024 NFL Draft. We'll do a quick reaction to what we saw tonight over the first 4 hours of the NFL Draft with day two, including the second and third rounds. We have some picks with some odds available to us. We will dish those out as we see fit. Let's start with what we saw in the first round. I'll just start with a couple of nuggets. First round, we saw NFL history. The fewest overall picks for 6 quarterbacks selected in NFL history. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix at 7. Michael Penix at 7. J.J. McCarthy at 10 because of a trade up from 11 to 10 by the Minnesota Vikings. And then Bo Nix to Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. So those of you that had under 4.5 quarterbacks, that's annoying, but it seemed like that was going to get there regardless. The receiver position, position totals, that went over at the last second with 2 receivers being selected at the bottom of the first round. Went over 6.5, 7 receivers selected, and offensive line went under 9.5, 8 O-linemen selected in the first round. Just 3 cornerbacks going in the first round. I'll send it to Travis Reed first. Your thoughts. Lead it off however you'd like.
Yeah, the quarterback thing is obviously the biggest one, I think. It's not a total shocker. I think we all saw in the range of outcomes, you know, 6 quarterbacks could go if they started to feel – the team started to get thirsty, and they're like, okay, especially like Denver didn't have a second-round pick. The shocking part is the Falcons taking Penix, obviously. We have talked before this podcast started. Nobody has any explanation. I have not seen a single good explanation on Twitter from anyone of why they would do this. We looked at, I think it was 151 for Penix to go to the Falcons. You could tell me that this pick happened and I would still say, no, I'm not going to take that bet because it doesn't make any sense that they would take it. So yeah, that's obviously the most shocking thing. Other than that, it was kind of chalky for a while. You know, Alt went 5 instead of 7, but there wasn't anything that was really egregious until that Penix pick, and then that just kind of threw everything out of whack. But that's kind of the my first thoughts on the first round of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob, we were you were sticking to your guns on Drake May to go 2. He ends up going 3 to New England. Daniels went 2 to Washington with all the chit chat about the agent, whether or not he wanted to be there. But we were on it as far as Harrison going 4, and then Joe Alt going 5. So those exactas were also annoying to process in the moment. But Jacob, your leadoff thoughts. And I guess the only bit of information that we can gather that makes sense on the Michael Penix front is that it pissed off Kirk Cousins, according to Diana Rossini. I should say stunned. Stunned could be positive or negative, I suppose. That's a pissed stunned, I would imagine, Jacob.
Yeah, definitely shocking to me. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of steam around Michael Penix going in the first round. Yep. I don't think anyone saw it happening to Atlanta. The only logical explanation to me is maybe Kirk Cousins' Achilles injury is worse than initially thought, but then why would they give him a $200 million contract or whatever the number was? Just difficult to process. The Bo Nix one to the Broncos, at least it makes sense. You know, they need a quarterback. Their room going into next season is going to be Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci, and Jarrett Stidham. Definitely we're going to be looking for an upgrade on that situation. So that one, at least, like, you can kind of rationalize it, even though I don't think Bo Nix should have been a first-round pick. The Penix one is just baffling to me. So looking forward to hearing any thoughts from the rest of us on that.
$100 million of the $180 million to Kirk Cousins is fully guaranteed. $50 million signing bonus also included.
Yeah, the best part about the whole thing, though, if you think about it, is they had the eighth pick, so they knew Penix wasn't going to go before them. So they must have known they were going to do this for like a long time and still decided only to reach out to Cousins when they were on the call to make the pick. So like this had like forethought to it. This wasn't a player that fell to you, right? And like you had to make a decision in the moment. This had lots and lots of thought to it. So the entire Atlanta brass knew this was coming. And also nobody who mocked this had any idea. So yeah, shock number one, two, and three probably of the evening, especially because it did end up a little chalky before we got to, I guess, like the middle chunk of the round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Penix at eight, pardon me. I think I said seven. Penix at eight to Atlanta. Did help us, I guess, in a way. Didn't really. I was hoping Odunze would go eight for your sake, Evan, but he did go nine, something we hit on earlier this afternoon. Eight, nine, 10, dabbled on all three of those. And those odds moved throughout the afternoon, and we got a shorter number on nine. I think we got some pretty good CLV on that. How about the totals as far as receivers and O-linemen? And that kind of leads to today, about what receivers might be available and what teams' approaches might be for day two.
Yeah, there's definitely some good receivers still there. We had a couple surprises. Ricky Pearsall was a pretty big surprise at the end of round one. It was also a surprise that in a range where receivers were going, the Bills traded out twice and they need a wide receiver. So maybe they're just happy with the depth and try to get two later, one in the second, maybe one in the third or something like that. But I do see Buffalo has now the first pick in the second round. So I think another receiver there makes sense. If you're looking at, we don't have those odds available yet for position for the Bills, but I'm guessing maybe that's something that we'll have by morning. So that'll be something I'll be looking at to see if what the prices are there.
Okay. Jacob, your thoughts? I know you were, at least Kansas City, the thought was possibly O-line, but they went up and got Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, Bills helped make that happen for them. And then we got two wide receivers with the last two picks of the draft, which hurt the under 6.5 wide receivers quite a bit. Hated seeing that, especially after there was a tweet initially that the Niners were going to take Cooper DeJean. Beyond just being a super fun fit in that defense, like that would have been good for my bankroll. So that one hurt seeing the two wide receivers come off the board at the end. But I do think we're going to see a ton of wide receivers come off the board here in day two. So looking forward to getting some odds on those.
And Evan Abrams, as far as the position totals, those are some the receiver was a bad beat. O-line does go under.
Yeah, cornerback was super easy as well. 5.5 there. I think you said only three ended up in the round. Aside from that, we saw no safeties. So I think that becomes an interesting topic at the beginning of the second round, which we could talk about in a second. But that's kind of it. Again, also waiting on linebacker, which we talked about a few long shots we had already. So some things rolling over, which isn't bad.
Sorry, I just wanted to throw this in there. Matt Miller, who covers the NFL draft for ESPN, says, text from a non-Bills scout, trading back to 33 for Buffalo is super smart. Now they have all day tomorrow to try and trade for T. Higgins or one of the 49ers wideouts.
So maybe that's there's a lot of speculation on Ayuk now after the Niners drafted a receiver. I've seen rumors to the Patriots. who obviously need a receiver as well. So, yeah, those will, yeah, two trades that I think could both happen tomorrow for early day two picks, plus more, I would think, especially for Ayuk. I don't think just a second round pick would get that done, but that's probably a good starting point.
The Action Network podcast is presented by BetMGM. Use the bonus code ACTION when signing up to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. For new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Anything, Jacob, that you like that's currently available now? That is presented to us. Blake Corum odds are out there. Spencer Rattler, so a running back and a quarterback, and then some first. Still have yet to see a running back come off the board, safety, and possibly a second tight end.
Yeah, I still like the flyer on Marshawn Lloyd as the top running back. He was Danny Jeremiah's top running back in his final rankings. Just a super explosive player, led the class with 7.1 yards per attempt. One of five FBS running backs with 100 more carries to average over 7 yards per catch. So just a really big play running back. And I think he has a lot of upside. Get him at 15-1 right now to be the first running back. Does seem like Jonathan Brooks will be the favorite. Trey Benson close behind, but I don't mind taking a flyer in that market.
It was funny because I was actually going to take Brooks and I thought that was a little bit short. And my backup to that was going to be Lloyd. So it seems like Lloyd is the, I don't know, long shot ish pick that you could take right now. But I do agree that Brooks is a little short. I think I said Brooks and also I believe Newbin from the safety, both at 125. I kind of feel like Newbin's the better pick and probably is longer by the morning. But I still like Brooks as well. I think he's chalk there. I think he comes in first.
Travis Reed, anything you're dabbling?
Yeah, a couple long shots. Blake Corum, landing spot. It was long thought that he would go to the Chargers with his college coach there. But those odds have grown, especially once they passed on receiver. I think everyone's kind of assuming they're going to have to probably hit that position more than once in the next couple of days. But I like Tampa Bay as a landing spot there at 34-1. There's not a whole lot in the depth chart behind Rashad White. So I think basically you could talk yourself into almost any team for a running back at like 30-1. But I think that one makes a lot of sense in particular.
When more becomes available, Jacob, when more becomes available, what are some things that you keep in mind for day two? Is it more of a, of course, team need comes to mind, but, or is, you know, I think best available, which is, I'm wondering, some of these teams, is that what they decided to do? I think a lot of teams at the end of the first round, we saw some actual needs accomplished, but I can't imagine, unless the Atlanta Falcons thought Michael Penix was the best guy on the board at their pick. Cause that's, I didn't even watch a presser. I mean, that's what I'm intrigued by. I would love to watch a presser in terms of how they explain this through. And I'm sure more will come out from what happened Thursday night, but, what are some approaches that you're keeping in mind as teams use their next few selections here, day two?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get some over-under markets for some players. Hopefully those come out by the morning. I think just understanding like which guys were higher or the highest ranked. in these, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, Dane Brugger, like those types of rankings, and kind of assessing like where they might fall based on team need. But also got to keep an eye out for any medical stuff. You know, not trying to break any reports or anything like that about Cooper DeJean, but like, I do wonder if there was something medical with him and that's why he fell out of the first round, because a lot of people had him closer to like a top 15 pick rather than, you know, falling out of the first round. So just want to pay attention to those. Watch for any reports on players that fell out of the first round that were expected to go early, but guys like Cooper DeJean, Jackson Powers Johnson, another name, Edgerrin Cooper, who I'm keeping an eye on, like names like that, I think could go pretty early on day two.
Yeah, seeing a lot of linebackers and corners too that are at the top of Jeremiah's best available, I think is the way he labeled his best prospects available that he updated just before we got started here tonight. Travis, how about you as far as what you're kind of keeping? Of course, the market's the market. We got to see what the market is. But what are some things you're possibly projecting at this stage without much being available?
Yeah, one of the things that I like to look for is looking at positions that teams have already taken and then betting on them taking another one, because those prices will be super inflated because they're like, oh, why would they take another offensive lineman? They just took one. But I mean, you need five at least. Yeah. So it's not out of the realm of possibilities, you know, for some of these teams to double down on a position, especially if it's one that you need. I mentioned the Bills. I could easily see them taking two receivers tomorrow. So I like to look at things like that because, you know, people just assume, oh, that need is filled, so there's no reason to take that again. So you can get some good numbers there.
Buffalo now has what, 2 second-round picks, right? They get the first pick of the second round, and then they draft at the end of the second, so they get the 60th overall pick at the end of the second round. How about you, Evan? Things you're kind of keeping in mind for as more markets populate.
Yeah, I mean, looking at just the top available players and trying to do some matching right now, it looks like there's only one or two teams available. One was Arizona. So actually, it's interesting what Travis just said about doubling up, because Arizona just took Darius Robinson, edge, 27th, end of the first round. Most people would probably assume they don't go DL edge again, but that's 9-1 right now. And there are Newton's right there at the end coming out of the second round. And the other one I was looking at was cornerback, because you still have Kool-Aid and you still have Cooper sitting there. That's plus 175. So those are two different angles. But as soon as markets start popping up, I will start to take a look a little bit more.
So day two quarterbacks, Spencer Rattler's odds are available to us now, but still nothing for Joe Milton. Still nothing for the Tulane dude, Michael Pratt. Anything you guys have? Rattler's available. Anyone have a thought on Rattler for those that might be tuning in and just wanting to be quarterback? I don't know. There are people like quarterbacks, you know?
I have Pittsburgh. Yeah, I took Pittsburgh at 60. It's 20 now. I'm not sure I'd fire again at 20, because I'd probably look at another team a little bit lower to add to that. But I thought Pittsburgh was interesting just to add to that room. And again, I personally don't know if he's necessarily even a second rounder. So this might be something where you wait a little bit, which lean more to the long shot angle.
Yeah, I think this could even go into like the fourth round. So then you're looking at basically any team could take them as a backup. So I agree with Evan there that you really want to be, you know, looking at teams that have no need for a quarterback that still have long odds, but they're willing to just add him to the quarterback room anyway.
Okay.
I got to throw in a quick aside. There's this quote now from Raheem Morris, Falcons' new coach, on Michael Penix.
Please.
He says the Green Bay model was something we talked about. It proved to be right last year. Hopefully we'll be right with them. Jordan Love was 21. He had just turned 21 when the Packers drafted him in the first round. Michael Penix turns 24 next month. He will be, I believe, 28 when Kirk Cousins is no longer on the books. So yeah, it's just not even close to the same thing.
But even if it's 2 years, it still makes no sense, right? Like, even if it's 2 years with Cousins, he's still 26 by the time you restart the cycle. Very, very odd.
It's also the back half of the first round versus the 8th overall pick. Right. Like, you're in win now mode. You're the favorite to win the division. It's just, it's a totally different situation. They could not have bungled it more.
I'd love to have a conversation with Jimmy Lake right now, their defensive coordinator, who coached Laiatu Latu at Washington. Latu would have walked in there and pushed for 10 sacks as a rookie. And this is a defense that hasn't had edge rush play in a decade. And Latu, I'm sure he was pounding the table for Latu. So I'd love to see what Jimmy Lake has to say about this whole situation.
I wonder if they considered trading down as well. Like, even then, if you take Penix and you get a second first out of it, okay, you can maybe see it. Still wouldn't make a ton of sense, but having a little more capital. I don't know. I try not to read too much into the age thing. I get it's a factor, right? Like using the Green Bay model as an example is not a good one because you just pointed out the age discrepancy. Because if you think the guy's the guy, and he's 26 at the time that he maybe plays, it would be 28 if Cousins lasts the whole contract. Still get a guy for 10 years, you hope, because quarterbacks are playing now into their late 30s. But yeah, okay. Right. So he led off that was his lead answer on that question.
It looks like
I gotta watch the video after, but yeah, it looks like it.
It's effing this Green Bay model thing. It's starting to bug me. That's what the Patriots been doing. Sorry, the fans coming. It's like, oh boy, the Packer way infiltrating the entire NFL. Why don't we go around the horn? Final thoughts and we'll get the hell out of here. Travis, any final thoughts for the people?
Yeah, I'll throw one more long shot. Stover to be the next tight end is 26-1 currently. He is not a pass catching type. He's not going to be one that you're going to look to add on your fantasy team. He's more of a run blocker. But you know, if a team covets that, I could see him being the next tight end, with especially after Jatavion really kind of had a bad showing at the combine. He kind of fell off. So I think those guys are kind of more muddled in a big group of tight ends than they were previously.
Okay. Evan?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right. Jacob, take us home.
Yeah, just keep an eye on Cooper DeJean tomorrow. I'm super curious what's the situation with him. And also pay attention to some of the language for like the position drafted picks. I'm still not totally positive if he's a safety or a corner in these markets. So I don't know if anyone has an answer to that question, but I think he's a corner. I think he's listed as a corner, but I don't know if anyone has insight on that.
He's listed as a corner on NFL.com.
And yeah, I think so.
That's what most books use to grade. So, but yeah, that was definitely one I got wrong early, because when I was taking teams to draft a safety first round, he was the guy I had in mind. So then he kind of flip-flopped to a corner.
All right. Just wanted to clarify that. And he's not listed on the first safety drafted market either. So yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, going to be excited to see where these guys go on day two.
Okay, excellent. Keep it locked in, folks, to Action Network app, actionnetwork.com, for write-ups, reaction to day one Thursday, and anything else we might have. That is it for us as far as our betting updates as it pertains to the draft. As this is the last you'll hear from us on that front. Be on the lookout early next week. We'll have a special NFL draft recap and draft grades episode with Chris Raybon and friend of the podcast, Matthew Friedman. That will be released Monday afternoon. So there you go. That's what's coming your way on the podcast front early next week. Great job by all of you guys. Great stuff these last six, seven, 8 weeks. For Travis Reed, Jacob Wayne, Evan Abrams, Brendan Glasheen, thanks for tuning in to our NFL draft betting previews, as well as our day one reacts tonight, day two best bets here on the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.